We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Today on Conquering Heroes, I get a chance to talk to one of my favorite coaches at the University of Michigan, and that is the women's gymnastics coach, Bev Palacki. She's in her 32nd season, 24 Big Ten championships, the most by any coach in any sport in Big Ten history. You're going to get a chance to hear from her in just a minute on Conquering Heroes.
Welcome to your one-stop podcast for all things Michigan athletics. Updates on every team on campus and interviews with players and coaches are all on the way. This is Conquering Heroes. Here's your host, John Jansen.
Well, my guest today, as we promised, is the most decorated coach the University of Michigan and Michigan Athletics has ever known, and that is Bev Palacki, who is the women's gymnastics coach. And I just want to give a few stats here before she starts. When I say the most decorated, she has won 24 Big Ten championships in her 32 seasons here as head coach, the most championships in any sport by any coach in Big Ten history. So it's not just at the University of Michigan, it's in Big Ten history. And Bev Palacki joins us now. Bev, thanks for joining us. And I know that you guys are getting ready for the NCAA championships. And we'll talk about that just in a minute in 2 weeks. But the challenges of this season. First of all, thanks for joining us. And what have the challenges been like for you and your girls?
Well, thanks for having me, first of all. And you're right. In 32 years, I have never experienced a season like this one. And our whole, I guess, theme or what we've been really trying to work so hard on is to find the lemonades among the lemons, because there certainly have been a lot of lemons thrown at us and all teams that are competing this year. And, you know, I think that now that we're closer to the end, rather than closer to the beginning, you really stop to take note about what these athletes have sacrificed for so long. It's been a year of them sacrificing, you know, any kind of a social life, being able to even hang out or go do anything with their friends. You know, they have been so isolated, and it's been school, home, gymnastics. But then when you get closer to the end, you start to see what actually some of the benefits of that focus have been. And their social outlet has been with our team here in the gym. And so I think our team is closer than it's ever been. I think our focus on gymnastics is sharper than it's ever been. And, you know, by virtue of that, we're seeing one of the best seasons that that we have ever had. And we've broken team records. And, you know, they always say that the best things, you know, you have to sacrifice to get them. If they came easy, everybody would have it. And so I think this season kind of epitomizes that whole thing, but it was really forced upon us. And in trying to, instead of focusing on the things that were taken away from us, we really tried to focus on the opportunities that we had. And so, you know, here we are today getting ready to go to Fort Worth for a national championship. And we're seated, as of today, we're seated number two in the country.
And you've like I mentioned early on, you've done this for 32 years now at Michigan. You were a student athlete. I was a student athlete. As a coach, I know that part of when you recruit your student athletes and you watch them in their, you know, 4 or 5 years that they're at Michigan, you want to give them the college experience. You want them to have that college experience. And part of that is social. And you just touched on this a little bit, but I got to imagine this year, there's always something you probably learn about yourself in coaching these girls. And maybe after 32 years, it's a little bit more nuanced. But is there something that you learned this year that you look back and you go, you know what, without this experience, I would have never learned this about myself or about my girls.
Yeah, I definitely think that there is, and a little bit is kind of what I've touched on is that, you know, as a coach in any normal year leading up to this, you know, we always wanted them to, you know, get your priorities in order. You know, academics is number one and gymnastics is number two. And, you know, yes, I want you to have a social life, but you need to limit that. And you need to, you know, every balance and all this. And I never realized how much a part of, and I'm not talking about like parties and going out, you know, every night of the week and that kind of foolishness in terms of social life. I'm talking about like, being able to go to a movie, being able to go have coffee with a friend, being able to go on a date. I never, you know, you never think about what is life like if you take those things away from the student athletes. Now I have a much better understanding of, you know, how much a part of their overall mental health and well-being that part of the college experience is. And so I will definitely be, I guess, more empathetic to that going forward. but, you know, and then I think like I said, also the focus and the discipline, and I think my athletes have seen and have learned, you know, they hear coaches preaching all the time about priorities and whatnot, but our athletes are seeing really for the first time when the rest of that is taken away, what it has done to our focus, you know, in the gym and our ability, how much of an effect that has on our ability to be able to perform at a high level. So I'm hopefully when we come out of this on the other side, there's a better understanding on both sides about what that balance is, in creating, a healthy college experience and not being too heavily weighted on one side or the other.
So tell us a little bit of how you got to this point for your team this year, because you returned to Ann Arbor from Morgantown, West Virginia, with your 13th NCAA regional title, another box to check, whether it's for your team, for yourself, but it's one that we obviously signal with a lot of pride. But what is it about your team this year, and maybe some obstacles you had throughout the season, not in terms of the pandemic, but in terms of your meets and watching these girls grow in their competition?
Right. So, you know, we, first of all, the Big Ten Conference determined that we would not be allowed to have any out of conference competition. And I understand, you know, the reasons for that. But it's difficult. I have always, my philosophy has always been, you're only going to be as good as the teams that you compete against. You have to challenge yourself against the best teams in the country. And fortunately for us, the Big Ten Conference this year was incredibly strong. The University of Minnesota, the University of Iowa have incredible programs this year. Minnesota will be at Nationals with us, and Iowa should be at Nationals with us. They got a really unfortunate regional draw and missed it by a fraction. The difference is we didn't get to have the experience of going on a plane and going out and competing at UCLA in their big arena, or going to the SEC and competing at Georgia or Alabama or Utah or some of the other perennial powers in the country. And so this regional experience was the first time we got to actually see some teams that were outside of our conference. We also had a limited, a smaller number of competitions this year. So we didn't have, and there, I found that there was good and bad in that as well. Well, actually not really that much bad, but, you know, we normally have more opportunities to be able to get scores for our national qualifying score. This year, those opportunities were limited. And then when the University of Michigan got shut down for 2 weeks, it limited them. We started out with 9 opportunities and we ended up with only 7 because of the 2 week shutdown. So we knew that there was more pressure. We had to make every single one of those opportunities count. And I think that in the long run, that also benefited us.
And in this regional competition, you didn't just go there and just come away with a win. You swept all the event titles. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but you had Sierra Brooks and Naomi Morrison swept the shared the vault title. And Brooks also had the balance beam title. Natalie Wojcik on the uneven bar title, and Gabby Wilson with the floor exercise title. Oh, and by the way, Sierra Brooks took the all-around crown. Is that when you went into the regional competition, did you expect your team to have a clean sweep?
Well, you know, for me, when we go into competitions, the last thing that I am thinking about or considering are any of the individual awards. You know, for us and for our team, it was about, you know, we wanted to win the meet as a team. We wanted to advance to the national championship. And what I always preach to my athletes is that if you keep your focus on the team and you do your best as an individual for the team, then all of those individual accolades come as a result of putting everything you have into what you're doing for the team. I knew it was certainly possible, but I would have never dreamt that would be the outcome, because we were competing against Cal Berkeley, who has had an unbelievable season. They were the number one ranked team on the uneven bars coming into the competition. They're a phenomenal balance beam team as well. And then UCLA was there, and you have all these viral sensations that are competing for UCLA, and they're historically so amazing on floor. And so, you know, for us, we were just really focused on the team part of it. And when we did that, you know, as I said, the individual accolades come. People look at my sport and they say, oh, well, you're an individual sport. You know, it's not a team sport. It is as much a team sport as, you know, even though we compete one at a time, it is as much of a team sport as any other sport. And we get the same kind of momentum, you know, that you get on the football field when things start to go your way. And that momentum can go up or down. So, you know, for us, we had the first night we had a little bit of a rocky start on balance beam. We kind of had to really dig in and work hard to pull ourselves out of that. And they did a great job. And I think we came in the second night more relaxed, ready to go. And obviously we had a much better night.
When you have a night like that, and obviously you have experience that you can lend to your team, who were some of the leaders on your team that were able to step up and really fill a leadership role in guiding your team to that championship?
You know, I think that's another thing that's helped us to be successful this year, is that our leadership roles are really spread across. We have a lot of different leaders on our team. We have our captains, Anna Dayton, Annie Maxim, and Abby Brenner, who do a great job just on a day-to-day basis and keeping the team up and enforcing our team rules and policies and doing everything that they can to keep our team together and to make sure that we're cohesive and that we're a unit. When we get into competition, I see people like Sierra Brooks and Nellie Wojcik and Gabby Wilson who really step up and are leaders by example. Abby Brenner is definitely a big vocal leader. Abby Brenner is also the one that a lot of our athletes, when they're getting ready to compete, she's the one with her hands on their shoulders, kind of getting in their face, telling them they can do it and telling them to believe in themselves. And, so we have, our leadership comes from a lot of different places. And on our team, it's like one person isn't always the right person for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody kind of has their person. And, I feel like we match up well, and we've got just a very, solid supportive team with a lot of leadership, throughout.
How do you identify that when you are recruiting high school athletes to know that not only are they a great individual and physically, and you can see that that's quantifiable, but how do you identify those personal skills, those leadership abilities or traits as you're recruiting and you're adding components to your team?
Well, you hit on something that's been difficult to do during the pandemic, because when we go out and recruit and we're at competitions or whether we're in a gym watching the athletes practice, we're not only watching their performance and their skill level and their execution of those skills. We're watching how do they interact with their coach? How do they interact with their teammates? Are they cheering somebody else on, or are they taking their turn and just kind of walking back and paying attention only to themselves? When a coach gives a correction, are they stopping? Are they making eye contact? Are they showing respect and like they're listening, or are they rolling their eyes and walking away? Those are the kinds of things we're getting, inundated with video, and we can't see any of those things on video. But, as you mentioned, when we are identifying, it's not just the talent. We're looking for the person. We're looking for a maturity. We're looking for somebody that appears more selfless and more of a team player, and somebody that's willing to go over and, give somebody else maybe who's having a hard day, kind of a, hey, you got this, you can do this kind of a comment. Those things are really valuable when we see them.
And you mentioned that it's, gymnastics is more of a team event than most people would realize. What do you do to build that team awareness other than practice and just spending the mass amount of time that you have to be excellent at a sport at the University of Michigan? But is there anything you do to build those team dynamics?
Well, we try to start out every year with some sort of a retreat. And when we do that retreat, we kind of go into what does it mean to be a teammate? What does it mean to be a leader? What are the things that we can give that are gonna put fuel in our team's tank? What are the behaviors that would siphon fuel out of our team's tank? We talk about a lot of those kinds of things, and then the athletes break off on their own and they do a lot of really getting to know each other at a deeper level. What are things in the gym that they need from each other? What are the things that they dislike, from each other, so that it's really building a deeper connection than just friends. We like to think of ourselves as a family. We're a smaller team, so it's easier to get to know people at a deeper level. And you know that you're really close as a team when you can, we're more like sisters. You can fight as sisters. You can push each other as sisters. You can call somebody out if they're not really giving everything they've got on a given day. But at the end of the day, that's still your sister, and you can say what you need to, but if anybody else ever said anything about your sister, you would, you know, stand up and fight for them. And that's kind of the culture that we try to build on our team, so that, you know, when we're ready to go in competition and go to battle, we've got to know that we trust, believe in each other, and we've got each other's back.
You've got just under 2 weeks before you guys travel to Fort Worth, Texas for the NCAA championships. What will these 2 weeks be like for you and your team?
So, you know, after we celebrated and whatever, we were in the locker room and changed and ready to leave, to go out, to get on the bus. And I just got everybody together and I said, you know, I say this all the time, but I am so proud of you all as a team and as a group of individuals. You know, what you've given to this team already this year has been amazing. We have 2 weeks left. And you guys, if you didn't know it before, you need to know it now. You've got what it takes to win a national championship, but we have essentially 6 practice days from now until we go to Fort Worth. And I need you to give everything you've got. And that doesn't mean large numbers and volume, but it means focus and effort in every single turn that we take in the gym. We can't have any days where we just come in and go through the motions to get through practice. We have to come in with a focused, intentional effort in everything that we do for 6 practices. And at the end of this season, you know, regardless of how it ends or where we are, we need to know that we gave everything that we have to give. So I think our message is quality over quantity. Very, like I said, focused, intentional effort. You know, you have to do the things outside the gym, getting enough sleep, fueling yourself properly. Those things are all hydrating. Those things are all part of the recipe to be able to come into the gym every day, have the energy and the focus to be able to make sure that when you cast, it goes all the way to handstand. Make sure that when you land, you're doing everything you can to stick that dismount. Those are the kinds of things that we're going to be really focused on for the next 6 practices.
So you mentioned something interesting, and I'm going to get off topic for just a minute here, because I do want to hear what that competition is going to be like, or your expectations when you do get to Fort Worth. But obviously, my background is football, and I know what it takes to fuel a football player. What is nutrition look like, and how has fueling your athletes changed over the course of your 32 years at the University of Michigan?
Well, I don't know that it's a great deal different than fueling a football player, except for the volume.
Right.
We, you know, gymnastics is a very anaerobic sport, meaning that the longest thing that we do is a floor exercise routine. It lasts for 1 minute and 30 seconds. So we're not high endurance. We're not burning super amount of calories. And so for us, it's the quality of the things that we eat. We can't afford to have a bunch of just empty calories. We need protein and good carbs for energy. And, you know, we have to be, sometimes the fueling effort is more getting them, because they don't want to eat a lot and then come and feel heavy when they're trying to, you know, flip and do gymnastics. Mm-hmm. You can imagine if you had a full stomach, that wouldn't be very comfortable. So getting them to get up and make sure that they have something a little bit more substantial for breakfast, something a little bit lighter for lunch, because that makes them feel better when they come to the gym. And then we have obviously our nutritionist that works with the things that we do afterwards for recovery, you know, much like the football players do. But, you know, the chocolate milk and the cherry juices and some of the other things like that we do for recovery. And then a good healthy dinner. When we travel, it's been different this year because we have some pickier eaters. So it's not like we do just a big buffet and everybody, you have your choice of, you know, rubber chicken or, you know, spaghetti or something. It's like, you know, we have people that are a lot pickier. So it's been interesting trying to find places. Everything that we do has to be ordered and carried out. But we've put a lot of effort into the places we've chosen and the menus and whatever, so that our athletes have what they like and what they will eat, and that it's going to be nutritious.
Yeah, I've noticed that in talking to a lot of the coaches at Michigan, that one of the biggest challenges has been meals, and during the pandemic is meal selection, packaging meals, getting those meals to the student athletes. And I can only imagine, especially traveling or going to a place like Fort Worth, Texas, where you've got different needs for different athletes, it's got to be a monumental challenge. When you get to Fort Worth, how long will you be there ahead of that, the April, Friday and Saturday, April 16 and 17 is the competition. When will you travel out there, and what will that competition be like for you guys?
Well, in a normal year, we would fly in on Wednesday, late afternoon, early evening. We would have practice day Thursday, compete Friday and Saturday, but we found out just about a week ago that they are going to require us to fly in Tuesday night this year because we have all the COVID testing we have to go through on Wednesday. So it's changing practice calendars and whatnot. That's an extra day of being without practice. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to practice earlier, leave Tuesday, get there Tuesday night. And then Wednesday is basically just completely an off day with COVID testing. We will not have access to the arena for any kind of practice. We typically have a ballroom area in the hotel that we'll do some foam rolling, some stretching. We can dance through some beam routines on the line on the floor, but not really any real gymnastics. And then Thursday is the practice day on the podium, and we will compete in the afternoon session on Friday, and then hopefully qualify Saturday to the event finals.
How many teams get a chance to compete for the NCAA championship?
So it recently reduced from 12 to 8. We always have two sessions on the first day, the preliminary rounds. And we used to have two sessions of 6 teams. Now we have two sessions of 4 teams. And then 2 teams from each of those sessions will advance to a 4-team final on Saturday.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. I can't wait. And I know that every Wolverine wants to tell you how proud we are of you and your career here at Michigan, but also of your team, and how they compete, how they represent the University of Michigan. We're so very proud of you, and we're excited to see you guys compete on the 16th and 17th in Fort Worth, Texas. Best of luck.
All right. Thank you so much, John. Take care.
I want to thank Bev Plotke, the Michigan women's gymnastics coach, for spending a few minutes with us and her time and sharing the challenges, the successes that they have had throughout this gymnastics season. We wish them the best of luck in Fort Worth, Texas, and we will give you an update when we know what they have done there. We will continue to update you on everything that is Michigan athletics on Conquering Heroes. We thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Go Blue.
Thanks for listening to Conquering Heroes with John Jansen. Conquering Heroes is part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGo Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.